Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's the Molly Meldrum episode. Tony Moakley, Tony DeBolfo. Why have I called it the Molly Meldrum episode, Tony?
Episode 23, Tone. That's what, right? A great player Molly Meldrum was. You know, they talk about Dustin Martin as the man upon whom no one can lay a tackle.
Yeah.
Paul Meldrum was like that. He was incredibly strong for his size and used to just have the capacity to shrug them off. And he was a great player for Carlton. You might recall he was a tearaway leader in the Brownlow in 87. And then, unfortunately, you know, was involved in that accident with Peter Motley going home. And it stymied the latter part of his season. But a great Carlton player. Premiership player in 1987.
Yes, yep.
Number 23, Molly Meldrum. Great call, Tone. One of the greats of Carlton history. The man who walked in off the street to get a game.
Apparently, yes. That's how the story goes. And a fan of the Smiths. So who's not to love that in a man? Before we get into a dissection of the game, there's a few things to talk about, Tone. Can I just say congratulations to two players in particular yesterday?
Yes.
We got an email last week saying that there was going to be an incursion. Now, you're a fellow parent. You understand what the word incursion means. It means when you have kids at school, they don't go to the museum, the exhibition, or something of interest comes to them. So a buzz went around the school that players from the Carlton Football Club were going to Fairfield Primary School.
Magnificent.
I was very excited. I was more excited than the kids. And I was wondering, who's going to be? And I was thinking, well, it could be, you know, players who maybe aren't getting a run at the moment. There could be players who are, I don't know, injured. It could have been anybody out of the list of 40-odd. Do you know who turned up?
Who was it?
The Doc.
The Doc
and
was there.
Simmer.
Is that right?
Can you believe that? It was awesome.
And did they put their bodies on the line, Tony, so they were playing for that massive young humanity?
Yes. It's a couple of hard gets. There's a few kids nursing a few bruised ribs and that sort of stuff. But, you know, that's what you get for playing with the big league.
Isn't that magnificent? And I'm sure they conducted themselves as well in the schoolyard as they have done on the football field this year, Tony.
Oh, they were – look, I was over the moon when I heard it was those two. I thought, well, you know, there's two blokes who will figure very highly in the BNF and – one in particular who's giving all Australian a real nudge.
Isn't that magnificent? And tell me this, you know, you see these players on the television, like you know, when you see them in the flesh, like if you look at Simpson and Doherty, first impressions, so small, big men.
Sadly, I wasn't there. I was at work.
Oh.
My wife who took the kids to school didn't even stick around. But Tony,
I'm appalled and offended that you didn't get away to go down there.
You should be, Tone. There were lots of parents getting photos with the players and, you know, true Carlton style.
Pushing the kids out of the road so they could get a pic.
Exactly. They were... The Doc and Simo were very obliging and perfect ambassadors for the club.
Well,
and
isn't that magnificent?
It is.
It's good to hear they're doing this off the field, you know, and really getting the message out there. And I think it's symptomatic of the change mindset here that the players, to a man, are, you know, getting out into the hustings and meeting the people. Should be more of it.
Well, it's great. And so the only takeaway message I got from my daughter, I said, what do they talk about? And all she could say was, Kate Simpson likes spaghetti before he plays a game and he lets himself have a lolly. So they know their audience.
Trade secret.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Well, it doesn't leave these walls, that information.
Not at all. So congratulations to those two blokes for providing something of a highlight. That was on the Monday. Not that many highlights on the Sunday, you would have noticed two people conceded defeat on Sunday, Bill Shorten and the Carlton Football Club in the second half.
It was a bit like that, Tony, wasn't it? And my word, didn't the second half drag on? You know, it was like the old Duracell battery went on and on and on. And you know, there were moments where I have to confess, Tony, that, you know, you'd want the mercy rule invoked at one point. It was it just was so tedious. You know, The team couldn't find a way to goal. You know, the structures were askew. Lost count of the number of times that the Carlton players kicked blindly to 2-on-1 or 3-on-1 against in our forward line.
Yeah.
There was just no system at all. And it was was very difficult to watch. The car parks, of course, were closed, which meant, you know, that most of us had to either catch public transport or park a fair way from the ground. And I can tell you, Sunday night and the rain trudging back through the streets of Fitzroy, it wasn't a great feeling. And it probably, you know, was symptomatic of the afternoon. It was it just, nothing worked. I think the opening was bright. Dennis Armfield, you know, was tremendous, wasn't he, the way he went about his game. A really important player, Armfield. We lost, you know, Kieran Byrne, who is one of those players that can break the lines with his run. You know, we can ill afford to lose players of his ilk. Armfield coming back in gave the team that badly needed run. But I think what's made Armfield a better player is his kicking. And I know, you know, the kicking was a real feature of his performance Sunday. But if you look at his performances prior to his most recent injury, he was bobbing up with, you know, twos and three goals through the course of the game. And I think that's why he's become a much better player. His finishing has been really methodical this year, and it was an area of his game that was flawed. So I didn't have the opportunity to speak to Dennis after the game, but I'm sure he's worked pretty hard at this aspect of it. And to him and to coaches that have helped him here, well, you can see the results. They're tremendous. And he's just become a better player because of it.
He was, and certainly in the first half, he was the only player busting a nut out there. I'll say that for him. second half, cheap and easy, low-hanging fruit, but I went there anyway. I only got the second half of the game arrived. You mentioned the car parks. It was SOM-like conditions going to the ground.
Yes.
It was, the supporters kind of earned, I don't know what they are sitting in the rain there. I had the two kids with me, and that second half did, well, I can only reiterate everything you've said, there didn't seem to be much of an operating structure. There were those blind kicks up forward, and most of the action was in Adelaide. And Adelaide was superb. They were.
They were in big bodies too with Adelaide. You know, you look at, you know, a few of our fellows that seemed to be really seemed to struggle to match Adelaide for strength. You know, there's some really seasoned players going around for Adelaide. They're a great side. Look, you know, they're obviously going to be challenging, you know, for the line honours this year.
Yeah.
And I mean, they are going to trouble most sides that they play. And but it was, you know, in saying that, you know, we're playing Adelaide on home digs at the G. You know, our crowd were pretty benign. You know, there was nothing
for
really.
Yeah, the Adelaide supporters were really loud.
Well, they were upbeat and about, but the team was playing that way. You know, you know, the notwithstanding contributions of Dennis Armfield and Jack, of course, bobbing up for his first goal for the club, there wasn't a real lot to enthuse, and it was sort of painful to see the Betts Jacob show. You know, just running around having a bit of fun. That just was sort of rubbing salt into the wounds, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a great afternoon, and I suppose the challenge now for Brendan Bolton and the players is, you know, can they somehow find that their mojo, you know, that was there early on in the year. This important run home now for a lot of the players. There are players, obviously, that, you know, are probably playing for their careers. There are some that we hope we'll get to see in the run home now, young players that we really want to see, games.
Well, McKay's the obvious one.
Well, he's one. Charlie Curnow's another. Maybe Cunningham. I'm not sure where he's at. But these are players that we desperately want to see, you know, get a chance, get a start, and hopefully get some games under their belt. So there's still much to play for, you know, for the group. Let's just see how the mindset is going into West Coast at the weekend, Tony, because really need to turn it around, the players, if they can.
Well, you do worry about, you know, the spectre of blowouts of the magnitude that we saw last year. And obviously nobody wants to see that.
No.
So what's going to be the turnaround? You would imagine Mark Murphy coming back into the team is going to have an impact.
Yes, well, of course he would. As captain of the club, we sorely miss Murphy. And there's still, you know, no definitive, you know, time frame there for Mark that I'm aware. So we desperately miss, you know, his on-field leadership and presence. You know, we wait now to see what happens with Dale Thomas, another player who's, you know, probably battling injury at the moment, may miss this week. And of course, Levi, the big fella's copped one match for his troubles there, which we could
all afford. That incident?
Yeah, well, look, I think what's happened is that there's been a bit of a, you know, the body punching going on these probably past month to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think the lawmakers probably said enough's enough.
Okay.
They're trying to nip it in the bud. So wasn't a lot in it, but but the law of the land says that, you know, if you do it now, it's probably a week. So that's the way it is, unfortunately.
The Jack Silvani goal and the celebration, what did you make of that, Tone? There was I was listening to that part on the radio on the way into the ground. And there was the mention of two particular players who, I think it was Simo and Doc, I'm not sure, who just kind of, they thought, well, we could run down the other end of the ground and we could just look after things at this end, which is what they elected to do.
Well, it was a goal that really came out of nowhere. It was sort of a, you know, a 50-50 free. It was one of those ones where, the umpire could well have called play on, let it go, but probably a technical decision that went Jack's way. You take it every day of the week, of course. And he went back and he, pretty good composure, put it straight through the middle. I think Walker was one of the first over, and of course Walker at one, Silvani at lock at number two. They obviously compare notes, and Andrew Walker said a couple of weeks ago he didn't really have to impart too much knowledge on Jack Silvani because he's such an old head for a young man, and quite composed. And it was just lovely to see the way that he methodically put that ball through the middle of the big sticks. And a great moment. It was nice to be able to see that, and we hope that's the first goal of many for Jack Silvani at Carlton, Tony. It was very nice to see.
Hopefully kicking a sealer in a GF one day.
Yes.
You did mention Dale Thomas' calf injury, so that's only going to be a week?
Well, we think, if I suppose he'll be monitored through the course of the week. There's still a chance that he'll be up for Sunday. We will wait and see, but, maybe it'll be a week. Be interesting to see who knocks on the door. I think Christian Yarks, Tony, may be one that may come into contention. I think he's fared fairly well for the Northern Blues in recent times, so he's probably one I would imagine Coach Bolton and the Range Trust would want to have a look at. Charlie Curnow has had a game or two back, so, maybe ready. He might need another run, who knows. So it'll just be very interesting to see the makeup of the team this week. And as I say, this is a moment in time now where I think the Carlton coaching committee will be looking towards its youth, I don't think they'll call players up gratis. Players will have had to have earned their stripes reserve grade level. But nonetheless, I think there'll be a real focus now on getting some games into some younger players. And I think that's a good thing. For supporters looking on, we want to see those players because that is the future of Carlton out in the paddock, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't know what you call it, Tone, enticing or talent full of potential waiting to step up to the seniors.
And yes.
That's all part of the journey that we're on.
It is indeed.
Tone, three votes for the game.
Yes. Well, look, I went with Sam Doherty.
Yep.
The man is just, he's been stoic, hasn't he? He and Simpson, you mentioned earlier, I mean, they're brothers in arms on the back line for Carlton. And I think what Carlton players, Carlton supporters love about Sam Doherty and Cade Simpson is that, they play for keeps, as if their life depends on it.
Yeah.
And when you see that, you really say, well, there's two guys that really value the worth of the jumper.
Yeah.
And it's just inspiring to see them play the way they are playing. So Sam Doherty, I salute you. Well played. Dennis Armfield, you'd have to say was, a pivotal figure for Carlton early in the piece, particularly when he bobbed up with those great goals early. And again, there's another player that just really gives his all. And it was great to see Den strutting his stuff out there. Three votes I gave to Liam Sumner because I thought that I thought he really tried to work hard to try and keep the ball in our forward 50. And the you know, we got it in there a fair bit. We just couldn't find a way through the big sticks. But I think William Sumner, with his work rate, was quite admirable. And speaking to him afterwards, Tony, you mentioned how, you know, the value of an injury-free pre-season had given him the opportunity to really play his best football. And I think he's been a really good pickup for Carlton. He's quick across the ground. He's a hard nut. He's a smart player. And I think he'll play a lot of games for Carlton.
I, having only seen half of the game, Tony, yes, will second those with honourable mentions to Zach Tui, who I thought did some good things.
He gave Eddie a hard time. He kept Eddie honest, didn't he?
Yes. Which is not an easy thing to do.
No, he's had a good track record on Eddie since Eddie made the move to the City of Churches.
Yeah.
So, no, I would say if you look at those contests head-to-head, I'd say that Zach would be in front. I don't think Eddie's got away from us in the instances we've played Adelaide, so all power to him.
Yeah, Eddie did. So you always end up watching Eddie Betts anyway, and did a couple of great things. There was a beautifully precise stab pass to him in the forward 50. He just emerged out of nowhere, and Eddie just scooped it up and converted. There was he thudded into the goalpost at one point.
Yeah.
Heart in my mouth. I still love him.
That was a push in the back, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah, in my opinion, yeah. But however.
Let's not talk about the umpiring. It was a little what you call inconsistent. I'm going to be as bland and as even-handed as that tone. So, yes, I will endorse it. And Simon White down back, Look, if you're in a schoolhouse with Doc and Simo, you've got to pick up something.
Yes, yes.
Some of that magic has got to be rubbing off.
I think you're right. It's, if you look back on the year when we reflect on 2016, you'd have to say that the back half of the team, the defensive cordon, has been the success story of the year.
Yeah, well, it's had a lot of work. It's had way too much trade on Sunday. We certainly hope that's not the case. Carlton, West Coast, Sunday, 17th of July, at the MCG, again at 1:10. It's another top eight team tone.
Ooh, the challenges don't get any easier, do they? But there you go. That's the nature of the beast, isn't it? AFL footy in 2016. So, and it's an enormous challenge, The challenge I think Carlton faces is the Carlton players face the challenges from within. How do they respond to that, lackluster performance at the weekend? It's how hard they come back this week. And it's been a long year. It's been a trying year. It's had great moments. It's been, Bolton said there'll be, peaks and troughs along the way. But let's hope the players find a peak again, because it's important to finish off the year strongly, I feel.
Now, according to my notes here, the last time we played West Coast at the MCG, and this bodes well, come on, 99?
99. It was a great year, Tate.
It was 99. A great year.
It was the semi-final. Crikey. I'm trying to rack my brain. I'm sure there'll be people listening in will remember this contest. When you think of 99, all that comes to mind is the prelim. But
yeah.
Against Essendon, but I need more think time, Tony, to remember actually what happened in that game. But I take it we won that game, did we?
We did marched into the prelim music the next week.
Golly.
And did what we did to Essendon, who if you've just got off a spaceship, you lost by a point. Now, the interesting guest, Joe Biden, the US Vice President, is going to be at the game on Sunday.
Yes, the President of Vice. Well, yeah. Will he be in the Carlton rooms? Look, if Jenny Pratt's around the place, there's every chance that Joe will probably make a cameo. And wouldn't it be magnificent to see Joe in the huddle seeing rat-da-da-da-da after the game? It'll be interesting to see. The other interesting thing here is if the car parks are still closed, Tony, will they let in
the Secret Service?
Will they let in the Secret Service?
Yeah.
So that throws up all sorts of permutations, doesn't it? But we shall see. Oh, the gates are open. Danielle, our producer, reliably informs the gates are open officially. So, to the entourage, welcome. They'll be going straight through the gate. It'll be very interesting to see where Joe throws his allegiances at the weekend. Hopefully it's the home team, because we want him there in the rooms, in the winner's circle afterwards.
Yes. I think he's the point at which he'll be watching will be pretty salubrious. He might even blow out the US deficit by springing for a couple of chips and some dimmies down near where I sit. Okay, so with the welcome to Australia, Joe. We hope you see Carlton victory against West Coast. We will catch you next week on the Two Tones. Go Blues.